welcome to another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. As a former PRCA cowboy, Wes excelled in the rodeo arena and is now pursuing his calling to share God's Word that has literally transformed his life. As someone who has a heart to passionately pursue God in his daily life, his desire is to help others do so as well. The focus of his ministry is to bring people closer to God by living in and through the truths of God's Word. May you be blessed by the message from the Word of God that Wes has to share with you today.
I think I could almost start off every one of my messages that God prepares for me with this one scripture. And I just love it. Let's take a look at it. I'm going to be going to the book of Psalms, Psalms 9. Psalms 9. I love this. Actually, I try to live by this. This is something that I look to it. Or think about it a lot. I shouldn't say I look to it because I'd be lying. But I think about it a lot every day, pretty much. Psalms 9:1, it says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. See, we got to do this with the Lord with the whole heart. We can't be half-hearted doing this. You got to be all in or you all out. He says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Then he goes on to say that I will tell of your marvelous works. You know, my mouth has got me in a lot of trouble in the past. But I was always afraid to talk about God or the things God done. But see, we're supposed to be telling this stuff. Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Amen.
So we got to tell of all these marvelous works. Jesus is coming. He's coming. Not because I said so. Not because any other preacher says so. Because Jesus said it. Jesus said, let's take a look at it. I want to go to Luke 21, and I'm going to be looking at verses 25 through 28. I like this version of Luke here, or what Luke's account tells about it. But Luke 21, and verse 25 says, now Jesus is talking here, it's in red letters.
Right.
Don't we love the red letters?
Amen.
Yeah. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on earth, distress of nations. Whoo! With perplexity. How you say that word?
Perplexity.
There you go. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear, the expectation of those things which are coming on earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Verse 27 says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory.
Yeah.
Verse 28 says, now, when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near.
Yeah.
We can see what all is going on, and we can say that it sure looks like the time we're living in now. Sure looks like the time we're living in now. But you know, I guess it's kind of cool to listen to some of these guys that put all this stuff together and kind of predict the time or whatever. But Jesus didn't say nothing about predicting anything. I want to show you this. Let's look here in Matthew 24, verse 36. 24:36. So what Jesus tells us here, he said, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. No one knows. So why do we even try to figure it out? Try to predict it. Jesus didn't say that. He said, you'll know the signs. We know that we're in the last of the last days. We're seeing the signs. But we don't know. No one knows but God. So why even try to figure it out? But here's what I like about what Jesus said. And he said it more than once in the Bible. He said it many times. He said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. But I want to know something. I've been talking to God about this. And I'm not pointing no fingers at this church by any means, because we're well taught here. But I'm talking about the church in hope. Is the church really ready? Are we ready for the return of Christ? He's coming. You know, the first thing that I found in God's book that Jesus said when he started his ministry was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say go to the priest and go to confession. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then I noticed all these red letters all the way through the Bible. There ain't nothing but truth substance. But he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he tell us to do at the very last thing he said? Let's take a look at that. This is where I don't think the church is ready. I'm going to look at two accounts here. We're going to look at Matthew 28, 16 through 20. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, go into the nations and make disciples. He didn't say just get them born again. Right. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. He didn't say nothing about sprinkling. Now let's take a look at Mark's account. Mark 16, 14 through 18. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is what? The good news. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. All these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Is the church doing this? Is the whole, everybody that claims to be a Christian, are you doing this? This is what Jesus commanded us to do. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Why aren't we doing it? You know, it's kind of sad, really.
Yes, it is.
It's really sad. You know, I had just got underneath Pastor Baker. I'd just come to Christian Faith Fellowship. And I used to speak at a lot of cowboy churches. And I got invited to a cowboy church. And actually, I was supposed to come back there the next 2 weeks. And I knew driving up there what I was going to teach on. But I felt this heavy burden upon me. And the Holy Spirit's telling me, said, you got some tough work ahead of you. Well, I knew I was going to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I was pretty young in the ministry. There was a lady there who's a Christian female vocalist of the year. Her and her husband were the one that actually introduced me to it. So they were there, and I asked her, I said, Marsha, have you ever got the interpretation in tongues before? Oh, yeah. Well, so I get up there, and I deliver the message, and I start praying in tongues, and I said, Marsha, did you get anything? I shouldn't have did that. But see, God honors faith. One lady come running to the front, and I mean, Marsha grabbed her, and I mean, she started just praying in tongues, and she got her big dose right quick. And come to find out, she heads up a Bible study. She just kept saying, I know there's more. I know there's more. Well, I was feeling pretty good. I get a phone call that night, and they said, we think you're going to go a long ways in the ministry, just not in the direction we're going. We won't need you to come back next week. So I get on the phone. I call Pastor D. He said, welcome to ministry. And then he laid out some stuff that I should have covered before I went there. So, I mean, I was a little bit out of order, but I'm just there to teach the word. I saw a guy that was a member of that church not a few weeks ago. I said, hey, how's the church doing? They ain't doing so good. So what direction were they headed in? You see what I'm saying? What direction were they headed? The other day, Pastor D asked me a question. He does this to me all the time. It's what I call them thinker thunkers. And you're like, I want to get this right. He said, what is the number one reason we go to church? I'm like, honor God, worship, bring your tithe, be fed the word. I thought I'd done pretty good. He looked at me and he said, to be equipped for the works of ministry. And I'm like, that's right. Because I have been to church in and out all of my life. And I mean, church used to be really boring to me. Really boring. But now that I know I'm coming here to get trained. But see, this is something that it don't matter where I start preaching at, it seems like I always end up here. I was reading in the Gospel of John, John 20. I seen where Jesus appeared the very first church service that he had after his resurrection. John 20:22, he breathed on his apostles, said, receive the Holy Spirit. I'm like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. What's going on here? Because I'd always been taught that the Holy Spirit come on the day of Pentecost. Then I started reading about this promise of the Father. I know these guys have got the Holy Spirit, but Jesus commands them in Acts 1:4 to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts 1:5, he says, "For John truly indeed baptized you with water unto repentance, but not many days from now you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." How hard is that to see? How hard is that to understand that there is another different baptism than water baptism? Then he goes on to say, "You shall receive power." Power. See, I couldn't be the child of God that I needed to be by just being born again. There was no power. No power. Now that I trusted God, I believed his word. People, they say, "Well, that was the start of the early church." Yeah, that's true. Show me where it says it stops. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's here. To be equipped for the works of ministry. You can find that in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, where he talks about when Jesus ascended, he displayed gifts to man, the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That's why we go listen to him, to be equipped for the works of ministry. So once you have that mindset that I'm going to get something today, you don't want to miss church. You don't want to miss church. You know, I mean, I travel a lot and I go to a lot of different churches because if I'm not here, I try to be in the house of the Lord somewhere on a Sunday. And I see a lot of different things, a lot of things. You know, it's like you learn something every time you go. Learn what to do or what not to do. You know? But how many of you been through SMTI, Dr. Barclay's Supernatural Ministries Training Institute? Don't you just love SMTI? Yes. Wasn't that good? Yeah. Now that we got us a permanent place here. But you know what? I want to tell you this right quick. Here's what I'm believing God for. I am believing that God is going to bless me so well that I am going to play a major role in building our new facility ourselves. See, this thing ain't about us. And that's what's wrong with the church. The church is focused on self instead of on God. Colossians 1, 15 and 16 says, "We were created by him, for him, through him." Amen. See, it ain't about us. What did Jesus say? He said, "Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Follow me." So we got to keep denying self and focus. You know, I've been through a lot this last year. People say, "How are you so strong?" I don't think about it. I don't think about it. I just go do it. Because I know God is with me. I know God is with me. And once a person gets to that point that you know that God is with you, then it's like there's nothing to be sad about. There's nothing to be worried about. Jesus even told us, "Don't worry. Don't worry." So I just try my best to allow the joy of the Lord to be my strength. Hallelujah. But SMTI. them tests are kind of tricky, aren't they? You know, I never really applied myself much in high school. And I even went 1 year of college because I was a pretty good rodeo hand, but I never did study. But for some reason, I get in SMTI, I'm like, I want to do this.
Amen. That's right.
I want to do this. So I'm all off into SMTI. I mean, I'm into it. I'm trying really hard. And come time rolled around for the very first semester test, I didn't do so well. And I left SMTI after that night very, very brokenhearted. Then my phone rang. Here's that shepherd's heart. It was the pastor. He said, hey, don't worry about it. I said, what do you mean don't worry about it? I really want to do this. But I didn't do so good. He said, Wes, when you're sitting in there, you're feeding your spirit. He said, just cause you, he said, you're feeding your spirit. Well, you know, when Dr. Barclay was here just a few weeks ago, we saw this in John 14:26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said. Okay, is Jesus not the Word? Jesus is the Word. So more Word that you get into your spirit, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to you. He'll bring it back to you. But we got to have this power. We got to have this power more than ever in the darkness of this world today. But I mean, I try to gain more and more and more. I try to stay full of the Holy Ghost all the time. You know, I mean, Jude 20. Building up your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. I even had a preacher tell me, he said, that don't say nothing about praying in tongues. A preacher. I said, well, what is praying in the Holy Spirit? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. But how can a preacher, he even unfriended me on Facebook over it. But I mean, what is it going to take to turn this thing around? We're not doing what Jesus commissioned us to do. As a whole church. We're not laying hands on the sick. Seeing them. You know, this friend of mine, he's a rodeo clown. He called me and he told me what was going on. He had a tumor and I think they removed it. And it was coming back or something. And he was telling me about all this. And he said, man, just pray for me. I knew what I was going to do right then. He was at a rodeo not very far from my house. I just left the house, went and seen him. Had his clown trail there. I just bounced right up there. I said, let's get it on, buddy. I rubbed a little oil on it. Just started praying in the Holy Ghost. He's been to the doctor 2 or 3 times. They think it's coming back. But every time he goes, it ain't there. Not by my power. By God's power. What about casting out demons? You got to be careful. Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but pray. Brother Rick gave me a series by Dr. Lester Summerall. I think it was called Demons and Deliverance. It was a long series. And then in the summertime, all I do is drive from rodeo to rodeo by myself. And I mean, I'm listening to preaching, 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 preaching. And I listen to this whole series all summer long. So naturally, I'm ready for me a demon. How many of you know that the devil will use the closest people to you? He does. He'll use the people closest to you. Well, me and Mama, we've had several conflicts, but I love her, and I told her the other day, I said, Mama, we just need to have a better relationship. She loves me and everything. But anyway, she's sitting down in the den, and I'm up the next step like this. She's sitting in a chair, and I'm walked by, and she says something, and I mean, whoo, right quick. So I think I've got me a demon here. So I got on this old t-shirt and I grabbed her by the head like this. She's sitting in this chair. I said, you come out of my mama in the name of Jesus Christ. And Mama starts, I mean, boy, trailing at me, but I got her by the head. I'm holding her down, see? And she tore this shirt plumb off of me, this t-shirt. Well, my brother, he's outside and he's trading chickens. We got wild game that. So he's got some guys out there looking at some chickens. My brother, he comes in, he said, what in the world is going on in here? He said, I'm out there talking to them guys. And he said, all I could hear was, you come out of my mama right now, you devil. That guy looked at him. You got to be careful. But hey, if you're going to learn, you got to stick your neck out there. We live and we learn. It don't matter if you stumble, as long as you're trying, get back up, get back on track. Try hard. Sometimes I feel like I need some help. I have so many people that want me, they hit me up on Facebook, pray. I mean, I know lots of people, and there's a lot of people hurting right now. There's a lot of stuff going on. Lots of things are happening. But the church needs to step up.
Amen.
I'm not talking about Christian Faith Fellowship. There's a lot of stuff in ministry that comes out of this little bitty church. A lot. But the church as a whole, we need to live this Bible instead of read it. But you can't do it without the power of God. You got to have the power. You know, I'm not going to call no names, not even going to use no towns or anything, but a month ago I went to a cowboy gathering, see a bunch of old rodeo buddies and stuff. And everybody was having a good time. And we were in this little room where they served continental breakfast. And it was getting close to 2 o'clock in the morning. The reason I was out so late because I didn't want to get up early the next morning, drive 200 miles over, then turn around, because I knew I wasn't going to be able to stay all day and then have to drive 200 back. So I went over there on a Friday evening. And they were several of them that come in, and they were all staying at this one certain hotel. Well, actually, a couple of friends of mine were coming from Missouri, so I was waiting on them to get there. And after they got there, we was visiting a little bit. Everybody had to picture albums out, and we was telling stories and everything. And this one guy I know, I seen him get up and leave, and he had another guy with him, and all of a sudden it sounded like somebody knocked over a bunch of pool sticks on the concrete floor. And I was standing by the door. I asked this other guy, I said, what was that? He said, I don't know. And he just kind of turned like this. Well, when he did, I just went out. And I saw the most horrific sight. There was a man laying in front of the counter. There's a pool of blood just big around. I thought I knew him, but I had to look at his belt buckle to make sure who it was. It was that bad. And I stuck my head back in the room and I told the other people. See, I don't think nobody was really wanting to go out there because they was afraid something. We knew something happened, but afraid we might get in trouble, but I don't drink or I hadn't done anything wrong. So I guess that's the reason I was right by the door. I guess that's the reason I was the first one out there. I don't know. I come back to him and I tell the guy behind the counter, I said, man, call 911. He acted like he didn't hear me. And I'm walking by him and he's dead. He ain't breathing. And I'm walking by him and I had to think about all this. And I don't know that, because man, whenever stuff like that, it's hard to think of everything. But I found myself fixing to go out the door. And I thought, where was I going? I guess I was going to get in my truck and leave. I didn't want to be there. And I turned around, and God stopped me in my tracks. Have you ever been stopped by God before?
Yep.
And God stopped me in my tracks, and he said, kneel down and pray. And I just knelt down beside him and I grabbed him by the arm and I just started praying in the Holy Ghost. And then I'd stop and I'd say, live. Then I'd go back to praying again. There was this lady that I know, we actually talked today. And bless her heart, she's like a daughter to me and a really good friend, her and her husband. And she had went and grabbed some newspapers, stuck up underneath his head. And she said, I could hear her on the phone with 911 saying, please hurry. Then I heard her say, he has a pulse. But I got my eyes closed. I'm praying. Right before the police got there, she stuck this. They kind of rolled him over and he started breathing. I don't know how long it was, several minutes. He started breathing. Blood was coming out of his nose, his ears. And I seen all this wood spindles around. It's like, I'm looking around, what is this stuff? Where did it come from? What happened here? And I'm praying, and the Lord tells me to look up. And I look up. There's a balcony area at the second floor with half of the railing gone. Evidently, what had happened, he got on the elevator, stumbled coming out of the elevator. His buddy trying to grab him hit the railing onto the lobby floor. But I didn't think about when God stopped me, I didn't think about nothing but just what I was instructed to do. 1 Corinthians 12 shows me that the gift of special faith manifested. Because I didn't think about nothing. I just knew what I was supposed to do. It's like everything that I have been trained to do just activated. Just activated. And then after I saw him breathing, I realized that the working of miracles manifested. Because he was dead. And he's been, this morning I got a call. This was a month ago. He's been hanging in there, but he hadn't really ever woke up. This morning I got a call at 7 a.m. that said he passed. So I've been questioning, you know, God, why? You know, but I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to try to figure out. But he was with us another month and everything. But I could not have did what I did which I didn't do nothing great. I told another friend of mine, he said, I told him the exact same story I'm telling him. He said, well, it don't matter how you pray as long as you pray. But I disagree with that. We got to pray in line with what Scripture tells us. And I see this unspoken prayer all the time. Unspoken prayer, please. Pastor and I have talked about that. How can I release my faith for something that I don't know nothing about? How do I know that you're asking us to pray in the perfect will of God? Unspoken prayer is unbiblical. Everybody says, well, God knows. Yeah, God knows everything. But God has rules and regulations. He wants us to stay within the guidelines. There is power in praying in the Holy Spirit. Look at Peter. Oh, Peter, he's bold. Then all of a sudden he can't even admit that he's ever even seen Jesus. Much less know him. No, I don't know him. No, I ain't with him. No, wasn't me. How'd you like to have a guy like him on your side? He's your best buddy. Then all of a sudden, whenever the water gets hot, he's gone. But then all of a sudden, now I mentioned he's received the Holy Spirit. He's received it when Jesus breathed on him. But after he gets this great power, which come on the day of Pentecost, my Bible shows me 40 days. But if you study the Jewish custom, the Jewish holiday, you'll see it's another 10 days, 50 days on the day of Pentecost. The power of God came. And it's been here ever since. It's up to us to just believe and receive the same way we do for salvation. Same deal. You know, Pastor called me Saturday, wanted to know if I'd preach tonight. I said, yeah. I was here Sunday. I don't know. I guess it was starting to get on me, but I went home from church. Man, I didn't feel so good. Guess it's been some kind of stomach virus or something. I don't know. And I woke up this morning throwing up. And I'm like, Lord, do I need to call Rick? And, you know, I'm out there welding, and I don't eat nothing all day, and I'm just drinking Gatorade, and the Lord give me that scripture. He says, my power is made perfect in weakness. Yes, see, I'm not here preaching on my power tonight. I'm here for the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to have this great power in order to do the works of ministry. Are you prepared to lead somebody to the Lord? You never know. Hey, right here is the comfort zone.
That's right.
The ministry's out there.
That's right.
You never know what's going to come at you or when it's going to come or what.
Right.
You never know.
Right.
You got to know that you've got this power to face any adversity that's coming your way. You got to know that when your back's against a wall or you're in a place you don't want to be, that God's got your back.
That's right.
There's no way of knowing if you don't walk in the power.
Amen.
Not my power, His power.
Right.
His power.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage each and everybody, the ones that might be streaming as well, you need the power. The church needs the power.
That's right.
You know, I can't get off into these denominations and stuff. had a lady tell me the other day, well, I have my own belief. Well, what are you believing? What are you believing? It evidently ain't the Word of God. What are you believing? You got to believe in something. But one person can tell another person that's not in this book something, and they'll believe it. And it takes forever to convince them by showing it to them. I can't understand that. That don't make sense to me. Friends, we got to have the power. The power lies in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it, Acts 1, 4, 5, and 8. It's crystal clear. All you got to do is read it for yourself. Then it says, whenever they were filled, they began to speak in another tongue. Not our tongue, heavenly tongue. The power is in the promise of the Father.
This has been another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. Our prayer for you is that you've been helped through the Word of God that we were able to share with you today. The heart of Wild West Ministries is to bring people closer to God through His living Word. If you would like to contact Wes to find out more about his ministry, to receive more of his teachings, or if you're interested in having him as a guest speaker, you can contact him by phone at 903-249-1250. That's 903-249-1250. Or at 580-927-3007. That's 580-927-3007. Or you can email Wes at 3wward@gmail.com. That's 3wward@gmail.com. God bless you.